Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your creator, Sarah Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our good friend Jeffrey Haas, here to break down the end of All Terminus and his awesome podcast. And Jeff, man, we've been like in each other's DMs for months now. Like, you when I first started doing this, you were nice enough to reach out to me, throw me a couple bones, and I mean, we've developed a friendship ever since. So I have to give you a big shout out on air, man. Thank you for throwing so many awesome guests my way. I really appreciate it, man.
No, it's totally my pleasure. I think this is a great thing for indie podcasters to communicate with each other and build a community. And you retweet and post all my stuff too. So, I mean, you're helping me out a lot as well. So it's just something go one way, which is the way it should be.
Yeah. And I mean, it's that, you know, it's that saying, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. And it's just, it's awesome to kind of see everything kind of work and going hand in hand with each other. So real quick, before we dive into things, man, like, how have you been? Like, what are you reading lately in terms of comics?
Oh, I'm reading some good stuff. I always love Usagi Yojimbo, which is such a pleasure to read all the time. I'm reading Saga. I'm reading Moon Knight, The Flash. For Jeremy Adams does a great job with that. God, I'm reading Spawn, all those Spawn comics. I'm such a Spawn fan.
Some awesome Spawn books are coming out as well. Speaking of books, though, you have one that's coming out the end of All Terminus. So, you know, let's dive into who you are and how you got into creating comics. I mean, I'd like to kind of paint the roadway leading up to the book we're going to be talking about today.
All right, I've been a comic book nerd for probably about 35 years. I'm second generation comic book nerd. My dad was a kid growing up on comic books, and when I was old enough to start reading, dad's like, "Hey, comic books." And I was like, "Okay," and then it never stopped. I've been buying them ever since. I like to brag once in a while that I have every Green Lantern comic book, 1960 to now, every single iteration of Green Lantern.
Wow.
I own, yes, it's a collection that goes over 1,000 issues. I'm very excited by that one. It's just, you know, they're just so much fun, and they, you know, they get in your blood. They become almost like you're like almost like friends. Maybe it's a weird word, but friends, like, you know, in a long day, you pick up your comic book, you revisit these characters you haven't seen in a month. And you enjoy their adventures. And I really always loved it. And around 2025, we're about 25, so that'd be 2005, 2008, somewhere in that time frame, I decided to start writing my own comic books. I figured, you know, what the hell? And I've been writing comic books for the last about 13 years or so, on and off.
So what came first, the chicken or the egg, the podcast or the comic?
The specific comic book or writing in general?
You writing comics, you know. So did you start podcasting first or your comic history first?
Comic history came first. Comic history beat it by, maybe 8 or 9 years.
Wow. So what kind of like drove you to want to cover comic books as well? I mean, you cover all sorts of media, like TV shows, you know, all stuff, novels. But, you know, what made you want to kind of dive into that media?
Well, the first thing is I started writing articles for a website that used to exist. It's down now. It's called Project Fanboy, or Fanboy Buzz, whatever they called it at the time. And I started writing articles about comic books called Issues. It was the name of the articles I wrote was called Issues.
That's catchy.
Yes, indeed. And I started writing them, and I decided as I was writing them, because I like to do a lot of research for my articles. I don't like people who just kind of like bullshit and just kind of like just randomly like, this is my opinion on why this character is the best. And I was like, I'm going to do research on the issues in the industry. And you can't talk about it without talking to people in the industry. So I started reaching out to people like Mark Wade and Ron Mars and getting their thoughts on this and that. And I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. Let's try to interview them completely. So that moved into interviews. I did something for like a couple for The Outhouse as well at the time. Then I started doing, that took me to doing a comic book convention, BurrowCon. I was getting guests for their show. And then that moved into doing a podcast, public relations for a different podcast that I'm no longer part of. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to do all that stuff, let's do my own damn podcast. And then there it is, Traversing the Stars.
So where can people find that podcast if they're interested in listening?
All right, Traversing the Stars can be found on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe. You can also, I just last week moved to Podbean. So I'm on Podbean now. Instead of, I was on Captivate, but now I moved over to Podbean. You can find me on Twitter under Traversing Stars or J-House Interviews, whichever one you want. You can find me on Facebook under Traversing the Stars. And you can find me on Instagram under Vector_comics. You can find me on Hive. Social media, use the word Traversing the Stars.
And we should have some of those links in the description as well. So if you guys don't want to go out into the landscape and search, we have some of those rounded up for you. So, I mean, the end of all Terminus, this is still in pre-launch, guys. Right here is the link. Be sure to follow this. Pre-launch followers are important. That's the easiest way to get alerted when this goes live. You know, what is this story about? I mean, the interiors, the cover is just gorgeous. You know, give us an idea of what we're looking at for the story.
All right, Traverse, the end of all Terminus is what I call a science fiction apocalyptic epic. So basically what that story goes is that the universe is being torn apart by what's called the Great Rip. And mm-hmm. it's sort of like dark energy run amok, which is pulling all the atoms of things apart, causing massive explosions and death of planets, stars, things of that nature. The last seven sentient species in the universe have come aboard with what's called the Terminus, which is a ship that's built on Earth. And their attempt is to escape the boundaries of our universe, to get away from the Rip. And hopefully, their hope is that there's something that exists beyond the boundaries of our universe that they can go to safety. And the story follows these seven species, which is about a ship of about 250,000 individuals that's trying to escape. And eventually, by the end, we're going to go down to about 8 to 12 individuals. So there's a lot of death coming, a lot of carnage. But the idea is to explore these seven species, all very different culturally, different in how they present themselves. And the question is going to be, how would these seven species survive not only the situation, but each other?
Man, I love it. It sounds like a really like horrific sci-fi, like Noah's Ark in space, man. What was like your mindset? You're like, what was the psychological like aspect of this when writing this? It sounds like such a dark story. I love it.
Well, like I said, it kind of came up with the individual characters and the cultures I wanted to explore. But I figured a lot of them have to die and a lot of them are going to deserve to die. So, but the key is it isn't just going to be action destruction, but there's tons of it. I mean, the first couple of issues, I take out quite a few. A lot of it was to be, how would these different types of philosophies of culture and individuals interact with one another and deal with this kind of crisis? So I created seven different species, one being human. So I didn't create the human species, obviously they already mm-hmm. kind of exist. So I created the human species, like six more I created, with the idea that to explore bigger ideas. But of course, like I said, you got to kill your babies. And so I decided to wipe out most of them.
So what goes into creating like a whole species? It just seems like there's so much that you have to do to make it work.
There's a lot. I mean, basically, there's a few templates you can follow. I mean, I won't lie. When, you know, like I have a species called the Gedadakians, and with the main character called Thraxus, who's really badass. And I thought, you know, I'm going to lie. If anyone looks at that species and goes, they seem like Klingons. Yes, they do. You know what I mean? But there's certain aspects of these characters that are just templates that you kind of have to follow. That's kind of like your basic tropes of a mm-hmm. of a culture. And then I built upon it. Some of what I built upon it was based on the primary leader of that species. And as the character developed, the species developed around him. So some of the deep, like I had a character, like I said, like Thraxus, he's a warrior species and I had a few concepts of what they're going to be like. But as I'm writing him, the species kind of started taking on their own kind of personality traits, a speech pattern that I wasn't considering at the time until I started writing it.
That's like a whole new level of immersion when you're changing right. like the cadence of their speech.
Right, and then there was like their ideology started inserting into the story as I was writing it. These belief systems started popping up as well, and I was like, I guess that's their species then. That's what they believe in. So mm-hmm. this character definitely is the representative, and that's what he does. So it's kind of how it started developing. And then as characters and species started interacting with each other, I decided to make one look, you know, you got to kind of like stress certain differences. So the differences had to be stressed as the characters started interacting. And that's mm-hmm. kind of where I came up with them.
No, I love that. So who is the creative team involved in, on this?
All right. Well, there's me. I'm the writer. there's the one who's really making it happen, Brad Shipp. He's the artist, inker. He's doing the gray tones right now. We're looking at black and white with gray tones, so that's him.
Wow.
If we do, though, make, I think it's $3,000 as a stretch goal, color does happen. We'll be doing a color version, but to that point, we're looking at black and white. Lettering is done by Todd Tashioka, who's doing a kick-ass job. He's done some Image comics, can't remember which ones, but he's awesome. Yeah, and that's the team.
So how does that look like when you're working with your artists, you know, from script to panel? Like, do you kind of have an idea in mind, or do you let him take the wheel a little bit?
I do a full script approach where I am running at the panels. But as I always say, is trust your artist. The mm-hmm. artist is always visually better than you are. They're better at designs than you as the writer is going to be, because our entire life is visual. So usually what I do is I come up with the basic idea, then I give it to him, and then when he does something better, I'm like, okay, better, cool. If he does something totally different, I'm like, that doesn't work, you know, I communicate with him, and then we come to some discussion of what we want to do with it. But for the most part, I come up with an idea, he comes up with a better idea, and then I go with what he does.
Well, that is so awesome. So we have issue one. How long do you envision this series running for?
It's a long form series. It's not
okay.
It's not a complete ongoing. There is an endpoint that I have and a storyline I have in mind. A little bit of how long it's going to last is going to be a little dependent on the reader. If people are loving it, it's going to go a little longer, because mm-hmm. I can tell more of the story that I want to tell. But there's a lot of aspects of the story that I want to share, a lot of ideas I want to put into the story. If people are like, all right, I have had enough, I probably will wrap it up within about 15, 20 issues, because it can be wrapped up almost at any point, get to the end. You know, once you get to the end of the universe, the story does end. So
yeah.
It depends on how long it takes to get there. And it could be 20 issues, or it could be a little bit longer. It's not permanent. I'm not looking at Batman 500 issues, something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a longer form series with a definite endpoint in mind.
So with this project in pre-launch, and guys, once again, right here is the link so you can follow this. Make sure you follow. It's 100% free. And while you're at it, put this on Facebook and Twitter. That's also free as well. Word of mouth is very important. You know, what type of tiers, what type of pledges are we looking at when you go live?
There's a lot. I think we have like 12 different tiers. It's pretty cool. We have obviously the PDF, which will be $2. The hard copy is going to be $9. I know that's more than a regular comic book would be, but
it's a lot cheaper than some of these Kickstarter, you know, physical books too, though.
That is true. And we're going to have a alternate covers by Danny Palencia, who's kicks ass. We're going to have a crossover cover with Chris Michael of Crit. So we're going to have one of his main characters and Thrax's arm wrestling on the cover, which will be pretty cool. We're going to do a retail appreciation tier. We got mugs. We got T-shirts. We've got come on the Traversing the Stars podcast for $50. You can make a guest spot for that as part of a tier. We got a producer, which is everything. And the coolest one I think is going to be a 3D printing of the Terminus ship by Brett Ships doing it. It looks
oh,
badass.
That's so cool.
It's gonna be like six to eight inches big, long, I mean. And it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be literally the Terminus as a 3D printing that you can have sent to your house. So that's one of the cooler ones. And also yeah. print as well. There'll be print and some other things cool. It's going to be great, and everyone should buy all of them. No, just kidding. Do what you can.
And then at $3,000, you unlock the stretch goal for colors too, right?
At $3,000 will be a stretch goal, and I will send either the color or the black and white version to you, depending which one you want. So that's going to be the first major, major stretch goal.
That's so cool, Jeff, man. Is this your first Kickstarter?
My second Kickstarter.
Okay.
I did my first issue of Malik Raining Devil, which was not really my Kickstarter, but I was kind of hosting the one done by the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
But it was my comic book, so I was kind of like participating quite heavily. This is my first 100% me creator Kickstarter, so I'm very excited by it. And like I said, please click notify. The more notifications you give me, the better the algorithms are my friend. So, and like I said, as Cody said, it's free. Help out your friendly neighborhood indie comic book person.
Yeah, absolutely. So outside of the end of all Terminus, what else is on the plate for you for 2023?
A lot. I'm doing my publicist work still. I have my current clients. I have Wells Thompson and Dalton Shannon, who did Frankenstein the Unconquered, is now doing Mechaton issues 4 and 5 on Kickstarter right now. So I'm going to promote them because, you know, I'm their publicist. I got Traversing the Stars going on as well, which is takes up a lot of my time. and I'm writing issue 5 of Malik, Running Devil. That's being worked on right now. And I should have a Anok issue 3 should be popping out as well sometime this year. So yeah, I'm busy.
Yeah, you never stop. We actually had Wells and Dalton on the show to launch for Mechaton, so that was an awesome experience as well. I always love getting the opportunity. Wells was actually one of the very first interviews you set up on the show, so the awesome little throwback there as well. So Jeff, real quick before we get too far, you know, what is the importance of hiring a PR? I know that's kind of like your thing too. So why should indie comic, you know, creators, if they're listening, you know, consider that? You know, why is that an important part of promotion?
Well, a lot of different things. One, there's a good chance we have connections that you don't have, especially in the comic book community, as far as creating interviews. I mean, I have a Rolodex of maybe like 50-something podcasts that I can send you out to. I recently got Wells and Dalton. They're going to have an article posted in Comic Book Resources as well. Basically, you know, so you got connections that you're utilizing. Also, someone else postings through social media. I post my clients about 3 times, 4 times a week to promote them as well. And it helps to have someone else in your corner rooting for you, because anyone who does a Kickstarter knows they're killers. There's mm-hmm. There's always a moment in Kickstarter where, you know, the lull sets in and the fear that you're not going to ever hit your numbers and the horror of it all. And it helps to have someone in your corner also just coaching you, be like, you got this, let's do this, let's focus on that. Give some ideas on how to help you out a little bit. It helps. It always helps to have someone in your corner, and then I think that's the important thing.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I've seen it firsthand. Jeff put some work in terms of promotion and advertising, so it's always awesome to see. So Jeff, before we let you go, we always end the podcast on a really strong note, and that's where I get to ask you for a little bit of advice for anyone who might be new and listening, or even like seasoned and kind of just like stuck in a rut. So with that being said, for anyone who is maybe having trouble just getting motivated and starting, you know, with writing or art or anything in between, what would be your advice to kind of help them just get started? Just get that extra zap and, you know, that extra kick in their butt to get going.
For comic books or for Kickstarters or for
creating their comic?
Creating their comic, just do it. honestly, sit down, write down the first sentence. All right. That's your entire goal. No matter how many, you know, the average comic book is 24 pages long, but every comic book starts off with your first sentence, your first sentence. Just write it down. And my best advice to you is, you also recognize that your comic book your first draft is going to suck. Your first draft always sucks. And it should suck. It's your first draft. It's just get your ideas out there. Once you get past that first sentence, just throw your ideas out there, let it suck, and then marinate on it a little bit and improve it. But you're going to regret not having done it if you don't do it. You don't want to be that 70-year-old man going, man, I could have done that, blah, 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 but I decided it was too hard, or, you know, I just was afraid. Just put it out there. Get it out there. It's yours. And you never know. You may find it that this has been the most fun thing you've ever done, and you're going to write the comic that you've always wanted to read. Do it. That's my
absolutely. Absolutely. I often read that when people are on their deathbed, the biggest thing they express is all the things they wish they would have done. All the things they wish they would have done is standing beside them at, you know, on their deathbed. And that's the last thing they could think about. So don't let that be you. Also, don't let you not following this pre-launch campaign. Right there is the link. Make sure you do that as well, because you don't want to be carrying that to your deathbed either. Guys, with that being said, it has been a fantastic Saturday. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you all have an awesome day. But most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.